Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, senior pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Everything changes. Do you think he'll walk out of his office and start stealing stuff again and people say, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm under grace. Hey, I'm going to go home. I'll take a four-hour lunch. How come? I'm under grace. Grace!
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. The word grace is often misunderstood. We use it as a get-out-of-jail-free card, thinking that God will overlook our sinful behavior. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will help us see how God views the subject of grace in a message entitled, God's Amazing Grace. Now, here's Pastor Wayne.
You know, we misunderstand words, and we can misunderstand words like love and dilute it into something that it becomes sort of like endorsement to whatever we want to do is fine under the guise of love. But there's one that we cannot misunderstand because it has everything to do with our life in Christ, and it's the word grace. Oh, we can misunderstand that and misdefine it where people will say, well, you know, we're under grace, no problem. God forgives, grace, we're grace people. Yes and no. Yes, it's true. No, we've misunderstood it. We've got the wrong definition. And so we want to see grace in what it really is to be today, and it will change your life. Because you see, if you misdefine grace, like whatever, God's a God of grace, you sort of like downgrade your life to grace. But today I want us to learn that when we understand grace like it really should be understood, you upgrade your life. Your life actually upgrades to grace. It doesn't downgrade to it. Your life upgrades. So we're going to talk about how to upgrade your life. And grace has everything to do with life. Let's read the scripture at the top of our notes together. God's amazing grace. Let's read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Go. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Would you circle the word gift? God's grace is a what? It's a gift. And it says here, would you underline, for by grace you have been saved. How many of you are here by God's grace? Raise your hand. Yeah, if it weren't for God's grace, we would be on a downward spiral because the Bible says in Psalm 103, it says, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. God has given us what we don't deserve. He's given us much more. Not what we deserve. If God gave us what we deserve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God, on your way down, sort of, you know, greasing the slide. And so the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What death? How many of you have sinned maybe once or twice in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, the ones of you that haven't raised your hand, you just lied, so you just sinned. And so we have all sinned and deserve death, but God gave us grace. Now, do we go around saying, well, hey, we're under grace, so we can do whatever we want to. We're grace, grace people. Let me give you a story that'll help you to understand grace. And from there, we'll hitchhike off of it to talk about a lifestyle that has been touched by his grace. Let's say you've been working at a company, and at 15 years, you get your retirement and pension and everything comes into play, but until then, you don't. You're not fully vested till 15 years. So you're about 13 years, but something happened at about 10. For some reason, we figured we own the place now. We know more than the boss. I know more than the owner. I've been running this department for a long time. So someone will say to you, hey, the boss says, hey, what does a boss know? I'm the one running this thing. Just tell them to cool, to chill. I'll take care of it. And then you start burning some relational bridges. Nah, tell them to be quiet. Yeah, this is because, like, I'm the big man here. And we sort of use a little bit of what we think is job security by keeping people at bay. So I'm the only one that knows how to run this department. And we think, that's job security. And then we see things around the office, so we figure, hey, a big company, they don't need this. I'll take this. Yeah, I'll take this too. Give it, my friends could use this. And this goes on and on. And then pretty soon I come in when I want to come in, and I leave whenever I want to leave, because basically I run the department. In about 13, 14 years, upon the recommendation of some supervisors, pink slip is given to the president or the owner of the company. And he calls you into his office. Now, at first you think, maybe he's going to give me a raise. So with light-footedness, you walk into his office and he says, sit down. These allegations have been brought against you and been proven true. You've been coming in anytime you want to.
Well, I had stuff to do at home.
Yeah, so do I. And you know, you've been doing this and you've been burning these relational bridges. These people here really are resigning right now because of your presence in that department. And I heard that you've been saying things about me, the owner, that you know better. And so you just kind of been being pretty lax. And because of all of these allegations and decrees and reports about you, according to our policy manual, I have to fire you and let you go so you can clean out your desk. Well, wait a minute, he says. Wait a minute. I got a family, can't you see? And I've got kids and they're just about to go to college. I can't lose this job. Everything will go down the drain. I'm sorry. According to our policy, you're done. You've been taking far too much advantage and things for granted in this company. And you came in, we gave you a job. And now you've taken it all for granted. I'm sorry, you're fired.
Well, what am I going to tell my wife?
Well, whatever you want to. But you're done. Clean out your desk, and I want you to be gone by 5 o'clock.
Well, wait a minute. Well, these people here that I kind of got mad at, but I didn't mean to.
You're fired. You can leave my office. And you think, oh, no. Your face goes pale. Everything is washed away. Where are your kids going to go? Can't go to college. You don't have any money. And you walk out, and you're sitting in the lobby, and you're just thinking, that's it. I'm done. And you just can't even face reality. People pass by you. They know you're in trouble. You slowly stand back up, and you begin to walk to your office. You're finished. But that's what you deserve. The policy manual says if you start stealing, if you do this or do that, insubordination, you're finished. And according to the law of that company, you're done. That's what he deserved. But let's say the president or the owner walks out and says, hey, you know, I know your family. I know your kids will be devastated. You've got kids going to school, and their lives and futures will be affected because of your poor performance. I know. I'm so sorry. I've ruined my family and everything. I've taken everything for granted. Yep. And even though you're fired and you're done, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to extend to you grace. What? Grace. Which means you're really done. You're fired. But I'm going to override the policy. I'm going to override what the law of this company says. And I'm the only one that can do it because I'm the owner of the company, and I'm going to extend to you grace. So you know what? I'm going to let you work here. How's that? You're kidding. Yep, you'll have your job back. Everything will be restored to you, but I want you to know you're not here because you deserve to be here. You're here because of my grace. You are from this moment under grace. But I want you to change everything that you've been doing wrong. Oh, yes, sir, I will. Oh, man, I'm so grateful to be here. Yeah, you better be because you're under grace. And you know, by the way, the bridges that you burn, I'll take care of them. Yeah, remember, you're under grace. Now, do you think this guy, if it were you, he gave you your future back, your kids can go to college, now everything, and the wonderful things that they've done, all of a sudden, everything changes. Do you think he'll walk out of his office and start stealing stuff again and people say, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm under grace. Hey, I'm going to go home. I'll take a 4-hour lunch. How come? I'm under grace. Grace. No way. That's the furthest thing from his mind. When you leave that president's office, that owner's office, don't you know that your whole life is different? The things you took for granted, you don't take for granted anymore. Then you know the things, the bridges that you burn, you're going to make them right. You're going to be a person that senses the privilege. Your whole life changes because you don't deserve to be there, but you're there because of someone's grace. And I notice that when you really understand grace, your whole life is different. I can tell people who understand grace and those who think they understand grace, but they don't. And when you misdefine grace and misunderstand it, then it's kind of like, hey, whatever. And I watch and they say, hey, we're people of grace. This is a church of grace. I think you have no idea what grace is, do you? You have no idea. Because if you understood that you're under grace, you would upgrade your life to it, not downgrade your life to it. Do you see the difference? And
I want us to be a people of grace here. I want this church to be known as a church of great grace. But if you misunderstand it, it would make us weird and mutated, and we'll morph into something God never designed for us. But because we're a people of grace, it'll upgrade us in the years to come. And I've noticed three things about people's lives that really understand grace, and I've listed them down. Would you write them down? Number one, the first thing is that you'll be living each day with a sense of privilege and gratitude. Would you write that in? You'll live each day with a sense of privilege and gratitude. Because I'm under grace. You see, you got up this morning because God let you get up. Did you know that God got you, obviously, got you up this morning? Some of you are still asleep, but he got you up, really. And you know what? Listen, God didn't have to get you up this morning. He was under no mandate to give you another breath of life and wake you up today. But he did. So you know what? Today, you're under his grace. And when you understand that I live by grace and grace alone, then all of a sudden, I live with a sense of privilege and a sense of gratitude. When you really understand grace. Last night after one of the services, a man met me outside and he said, I've been in the hospital because of a heart problem and I'm supposed to be dead today. But he said, for 8 months I've been in the hospital going through several operations, etc. People from this church has prayed for me, and his wife was standing there and she, tears in her eyes, said, I've been praying for him for 20 years to come to Christ. And he said, I was flipping through the channels in the hospital room and I caught the services here. And God has taught me about his grace. And he looked at his wife and said, God has given us a second chance. And she said, yes, he's very different now. And he said, yeah, because God's given me life. And I wanted to come here just as soon as I got out of the hospital to say thank you to this church, because I know that is only by God's grace. And he started crying. He's 70 years old or so, crying. And he said, and it's because of God's grace that I have had a second chance. And you look at him, you think, wow, this guy understands grace. He lives so differently. He has a sense of gratefulness and gratitude and a sense of privilege. And when you live with a sense of gratitude, your whole life changes because you know what you deserve. Let's read what happens here in Colossians 2, what happened to us. Go. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. Listen, when you are fired and then given grace to be retained, you know that there's going to be like the devil that's going to come and say, wait a minute, the policy manual says if you do this, this, and this, you're fired. This guy should be fired. And the owner says, I know, according to the decrees against him, he is done. That's right. So you need to follow the policy manual. And the owner says, well, there's only one who can override the policy manual. And it is not an employee. It is not even anyone who's been a manager for a while. No, there's only one who can override this policy manual, and it's the owner. I'm the only one, and he stays because I have extended to him personally my grace. Oh, the devil gets mad. No, these are the decrees against him. The law says the wages of sin is death. You ought to die. And God, the Father, says, you know, because a price has been paid for a big exchange, there is now the availability of something called grace. And here's the thing. God's grace that was paid for on the cross, and he, with grace, he is the only one that can actually overrule the law. With grace. You see, God's word stands forever, but he actually can overrule the law, the consequences of the law, because we're not under, by the cross of Christ, he fulfilled the law. Well, he didn't banish it, he fulfilled it and paid for the gift of grace. And there's only one that can give that grace. It's the one who paid for it, the one who owns it. And there's one who can extend grace to that employee, and that's the owner. And even though the devil says, yeah, but these are decrees. Give me that decree against Wayne. Give me that decree against Susan. Give me that decree against Bill. Give me that decree. Yeah, see this? Yeah, they ought to die. Uh-huh, watch this. Grace. They now live under grace. And when you start to catch that, you think, wow, What a privilege. Let's read the next scripture. Go. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. You see, when you start to live with a life of gratefulness, the reason God created it that way so that you live as a person of gratefulness and sense of privilege is because if you don't, you will traverse your way through this world, but life will not enter your world. You will be someone that says, I got places to go, things to do, people to see. And you zip through life, you'll have a family, you'll have a job, you'll have relationships, but no life will enter it. You'll go by it and then you'll turn around and say one day, where did life go? Where are the relationships? I don't even know these people in my family, my kids. What happened was you went through life, but until you have a sense of gratefulness for every single day, everything that God does, you will not allow life to permeate you in your soul. You'll go through and you'll end up empty. You've gone through 70, 80 years, but you have no life that has entered you. Gratefulness causes you to stop and drink in life. And that's why he created us to be a people living with gratefulness. Otherwise, you'll be living, but you'll miss life. The other day, I was standing with a friend and I said, look at that beautiful sunset. And over Waikiki, the sun was setting. And we stopped and he looked at that and he said, man, is this nice. I said, yeah. And it only lasts for a few minutes. Let's watch. And then it disappeared and the beautiful glow turned to like a yellow to a red as it went beneath the horizon. And we just drank that in. Later on, my wife and I were up over a little knoll by Wilhelmina Rise area. And we looked down over the nightscape of Honolulu. And we stopped and said, aren't we grateful that God has allowed us to live here? Isn't this cool? And we just drank in the evening lights. It was so pretty. And it's a memory that stays in our minds. Last week, I was riding my motorcycle at Hawaii Kai, and there was a sunset on Eva side, and the beautiful yellow, red rays were coming up, and there were clouds that crowned the Ko'olau Mountain, just lightly touching the tops. And when the red rays came up, it sort of burnished all the bottom of the clouds with this red. And it made it look like the mountains were aflame. And I just stopped my bike and turned it off and looked at that. And I thought, good night. This is gorgeous. But you see, if you don't have a sense of privilege with which you live, you miss all of those. Because God's gifts of beauty come packaged in momentary gifts. Sunset doesn't stay very long. It's there, gone. And you'll miss it. And that's why if there's no gratefulness, you'll arrive, but you'll arrive empty. Gratefulness. There's an old rabbinical saying that goes like this. God will one day hold us all accountable for all the things he created for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. But you see, when you've got a sense of gratefulness, you'll start to see a little child and you'll laugh at a little thing here and you'll stop and you'll enjoy this and you start to see the flowers along the way. And it's like life enters your soul. Otherwise, you'll arrive, but you'll arrive empty. Some time ago, Anna and I flew into San Francisco Airport, and you've got to get onto this shuttle, like this tram, that takes you around to where the rental car is. And it's like this huge automated contact capsule. And it just kind of, and nobody's driving. It's all automated. The voices are all automated. You know how they have the digital sound to them? It's lady's voice or the digital voice. And well, my wife and I and about 30 people were waiting for this tram. And it came, but it malfunctioned a little bit. It opened the door and my wife and another person got in and it started to close already. And I said, whoa, my wife's inside, I'm outside, no way. And I stepped into the middle and held that door. And just then the digital voice came over. This is no kidding. It said, please step back. You are impeding the progress of this train. I said, shut up. And everyone kind of laughed. And I pushed the door open. I thought, who are you? Even automated people can be idiots. And I stepped in. And then I thought, you know, the progress of this train, all you want to do is get this train from point A to point B. And even if it arrives empty, we made progress. Oh, you didn't make nothing. And I thought, how many times in our life we kind of get there from point A to point B, but we arrive empty. Life did not enter that activity. Oh, we did it, but there was no joy. There's no life. And it's like God is saying, you will miss life that I created for you if you don't enter it as a person who understands grace. Because when you understand that you're under grace, everything takes on a new look. You start to become grateful. It's just like when that person leaves that owner's office thinking, wow, I am under grace right now. I'm not going to mess with that. Then all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm here because of his grace. I'm here because of grace. Everything has been restored to me that I destroyed, and it's only because of grace. Now, the things that he took for granted, he's not going to take for granted anymore. I have a desk. I have a computer. I mean, man, this is amazing. And everything, because of a heart of gratefulness and a sense of privilege, can you understand? Everything takes on new meaning. And when you have a heart of gratefulness, I tell you, it pleases the Father's heart. He wants to give you more. I keenly remember a story when Aaron was about 4 or 5 years old. He had just gotten a bicycle and the training wheels were off, and so he's learning to ride this bicycle. And so he went down Hilo and Kaulana Street, and he met a friend down there. And they were riding bikes for a while, about the same age. And I was kind of working in the front yard when he comes in up the driveway with his new friend in tow, but his friend's bicycle chain was dragging on the asphalt. So I could see that the chain had come off the sprocket. Now, that's not a hard thing to put back on. But he came up and he said, Dad, this is my new friend. He said with a worried look. And I said, oh, hi, how are you? And Aaron said, Dad, his bicycle broke. And I said, really, what happened? We don't know. And I looked and I could see the chain, you know. So I looked at it and he said, Dad. And they were just cute little kids, you know, just 4 or 5 years old. And they're so serious. Dad, he said, do you think you could help my friend? And I saw, and they're so cute. And I thought, I'm going to have fun with these guys. And I looked down and I said, man, it looks pretty bad, Aaron. I said, really? Do you think you can do anything? I said, man, I don't know. Let me look at this. And I kind of moved it around. Whoo, I don't know, Aaron. What do you think? He said, Dad, he's my friend. I said, oh, because he's your friend. You know, I'll try my best. But you know what? It's got to like have a new flux capacitor, and the internal gyrations have been misaligned. Said, really? I said, yeah, and I probably need an exfoliator diagnostic to check this thing. He said, do we have one of them? No, we don't. And I'm just now feeling guilty because, you know, the room. So I said, no. But you know what? Because you kids are so cool, I'm going to do the best I can. Really, Dad? Can you fix it? Yeah, I think so. And then just then Aaron turned to his buddy and said, watch this. My dad can do anything. Man, I just, my chest kind of went boop. And I started walking to get my screwdriver, and I thought, man, this is so cool. Because, you know, when they're so grateful and they believe in you like that, I thought, man, I'm going to paint their bike, put new handlebars, put a Hemi engine in their bike. And I thought, you know, I bet our Father's like that too. When he sees grateful children that are grateful and live with a sense of privilege, it's like he wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. You understand why he wants us to be grateful people? But gratefulness is a byproduct of understanding grace that our Father, the owner of the universe, extended to you and me grace. And so now I'm under grace and everything changes. The things I used to take for granted, I don't take for granted anymore. I'm alive. I have breath. I got up. He awakened me, awoke me, got me up this morning by his grace. So the first thing that happens is you start to sense a life of gratefulness and privilege. But another thing that happens, when he walked out of that office, do you think he's going to get slovenly again? He's going to lose his punctuality? Do you think he's just going to go around and steal stuff and tell people, hey, get out of my office, get out of my office. Oh, how come you're so mean? Because I'm under grace. Grace. Get out of there, stupids. No. It's not going to be a life of mediocrity. It's not going to be a life that's slovenly lived. No, would you write number two, the second symptom of a person who really understands grace is a life of excellence. A life of excellence. And it was example in the life of Jesus. Jesus was one who increased in excellence, but he's going to increase in four areas that I want you to see out of Luke 2:52.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled God's Amazing Grace by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, tomorrow we'll also hear the testimony of a guy who found himself on the streets as a young teenager and how God's grace rescued him from a life of crime and drug addiction. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.